Now as we continue with our studies in the Gospel according to John, again we're reading from chapter 8. The Gospel according to John, chapter 8, commencing to read at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us again bow for prayer. Blessed God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we turn to Thee in prayer, and we offer unto Thee our petitions, and we do so with thanksgivings. We're so thankful for every blessing Thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank Thee, O God, for the great blessing of salvation. We thank Thee for Thy mercy that withheld the judgment. O God, we thank Thee for each one listening to this broadcast today, who is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, our God, we would raise our voices and hearts to Thee today on behalf of this nation. Wilt Thou look down in mercy upon us and cause that we may see some spiritual revival, men and women turning again to Thee, the living God. Bless us now during this broadcast for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, those of you who were listening in to a past broadcast will remember that when we came to chapter 8, I suggested that in this chapter it's the presentation of the glory of the person of Christ as the light. Now, that reminds us again that John, in his opening chapter, had some wonderful things to say, and he did mention the idea of light. For when he spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Then he goes on to say that John, that's John the Baptist, came to bear witness of the light. And he speaks of Christ as being that true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so he has introduced the subject of light away back in the introduction to the Gospel. But now here in chapter 8, he deals, as it were, in detail with the great truth. For, as I have pointed out in a previous study, that here in verse 12, the Lord Jesus Christ makes this great claim, I am the light of the world. You see, I pointed out in the first 11 verses, it is the light of His grace. For while the law came by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. A woman was caught in the act of sin, and the law condemned that woman. But the Lord Jesus Christ stands by the truth of the law, but he also stands by the truth of grace. And while these things are not contradictory, it means that the one outweighs the other. And so therefore, while there is a law that condemns, there's another law that comes in which outweighs the law that was given by Moses. It's the law of his grace. So while the Lord Jesus Christ stands up for the truth, nevertheless he shows that he is the Savior, he is the lawgiver, and he is the one who can give the true verdict, and he gave the verdict according to grace when he said, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." Well now, it's from there we take up today, and it's the light of his glory. When he pardoned this woman and forgave her all her sin and commanded her to live a new kind of life, that was the light of his grace. That's what grace can do for us. It can take us out of the mud hole of sin. It can wash us and cleanse us and make us new creatures in Christ Jesus and set us on the way with a conscience that is clear before God to live a new kind of life. But here now, verses 12 to 20, it's the light of his glory. And it's right here where he makes this claim, "I am the light of the world." The Pharisees were still standing around him. They're there still to condemn him, to catch him in his words. But he's going to display to them now something of the light of his glory. My friend, have you ever taken time to sit down quietly and try to assess the value of light? Have you ever tried to assess what light is and the functions of light? You know, when you go back to the Word of God, you learn some wonderful things about light. For example, we were mentioning yesterday in our study the different times that we read of God writing. Now, I'm going to draw your attention now to something with regards to God speaking. And when you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you'll learn there that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, where there's darkness, there's no light. But then it goes on to say, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And God said, and so here we have the first record of God saying something. And the first thing he says is this, "Let there be light." And there was light. So the first record of God speaking is when he says, "Let there be light." If you continue reading down that chapter, you'll learn something regards the functions of light. You know, the first thing that light does is that it divides. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. You see, light and darkness cannot dwell together. When the light is withdrawn, then darkness prevails. But when the light dawns, the darkness is dispelled. Light divides between the darkness and light, and it divides between the day and the night. For God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Light then divides. If men are living in darkness, in moral darkness, in spiritual darkness, and the light of the glorious gospel shines in, and men and women receive the message of the gospel, then they're saved. And the moment a man or a woman receives Jesus Christ as Savior, and the light of the glorious gospel shines in unto them, no longer are they walking in moral darkness. No longer are they walking in spiritual darkness. No longer are they blind people, because you see, a man or a woman who isn't saved, that person has had a blinded mind. They've been blinded by the devil. Their minds are blinded. But when the light of the glorious gospel shines in unto them, then they become recipient of this great salvation. Now the moment a person is saved, God says there's a difference. There's a difference between the person who is saved and the person who is not saved. There is a difference between the person who walks in the light and a person who walks in darkness. There's a difference between a person who has their sight and a person who is in blindness. God makes a difference, and it's the light that makes the difference. It makes the difference between day and night. There are those who are called in the Bible the children of the day, and there are those who are called the children of the night or the children of darkness. So light divides. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. We learned in chapter 7 that there was a division amongst the people because of him. He was the great divide. There were those that stood on one side who were for him, those that stood on the other side who were against him. And so Christ is a great dividing factor. Here in chapter 8 again, the lesson to be learned is this: he is the light of the world. And since we learn in Genesis chapter 1 that the first time God spoke, he said, let there be light. And that light made a difference between day and night, a difference between light and darkness. There's something else, though, that light does. Light illumines. It gives light upon the earth. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And then you learn this. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Light illumines. It gives light upon the earth. Have you ever thought of this, my friend? What would this earth of ours be like without the sun? It has been well said, if the sun was to be withdrawn, then we would be frozen. If the earth was to be taken nearer to the sun, we would be burned up. But it's God who keeps the sun in its proper place. And it's God who keeps the earth in its orbit round the sun. The sun rules the day, and the moon rules the night. Light rules. But remember this, what that sun in the heavens is to this earth. So the blessed Son of God, the eternal Son, as outlined for us in John chapter 1, he is to us what the sun is to this earth. It gives light. The moon, you see, is only a reflected light. It's the sun that gives the true light. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the light of the world. He is not a created light. And he is not a reflected light. He is not an artificial light. He is the light. He says, I am the light of the world. And why men and women are prepared to walk around in the darkness of sin, why men and women are prepared to live their lives in moral darkness, when the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to shine in unto them and give them the light of his glory. Some people have never come to appreciate the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever appreciated the glory of the sun as it shines day by day? My friend, listen. I wish that everyone would come to the point where they would appreciate the glory of the Son of God. His moral glory. His eternal glory. His redemptive glory. Because the day will come when the whole army of the redeemed in heaven shall blend their voices together and sound forth his praises, giving to him or ascribing to him all the praise and the glory and the honor and the power because of his great work in redemption. Oh, there is such a thing as the glory of his redemptive work. Here we have the light of his glory. Light divides, it makes a difference between day and night. Light illumines, it gives light upon the earth. Light rules, the sun to rule the day, the moon to rule the night. It's given for signs or witnesses for God. Psalm 19 tells us that. The sun by day and the moon by night. And they tell forth, as it were, the mighty power of the great Creator. So that lights are given for signs. The Lord Jesus Christ is the revealer of the Father. But lights were given to regulate our days and years and seasons. What would we do without the light of creation? Oh, my friend, what would you do without the light of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do not have the light of his glory, remember this, you shall continue in darkness. And it's a tragedy for men and women to live their lives in moral and spiritual darkness, and to die in darkness, without a gleam of light to brighten the tomb. Men and women need Christ, just as we need the light of the sun, in order to live on this life and this earth here. So we need the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, if ever we have eternal life to enjoy his presence in eternity. Then it's to regulate our days and years and seasons. We need the light of God's glory to regulate us in our manner of life down here. After all, my friend, if you don't have light, then you are in darkness. And here I learn here, way back again in the book of Genesis, when God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And you know, when God looked at it, God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God looked down on what he had done, and God said it was good. But now with these things in mind, and you look at chapter 8 of John's Gospel, the Lord said, I am the light of the world. And these Pharisees who were in darkness, they said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. The Lord Jesus looked at them and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, my record is true. For I know whence I came. See, here is the light of knowledge, the glory of his knowledge. I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I came. You cannot tell whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true. I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Now isn't that exactly what he proved to them in the incident in the first 11 verses? They were not prepared to bring the testimony of two, and that's what he called for. Now he's giving his testimony, plus the testimony of his Father. His Father has borne witness to him. Now we need the light of knowledge so that we may know. Christ had that light of knowledge, but he told them, you're without that. You don't know. Ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Your judgment is after the flesh. You're only judging according to what you see. You're judging according to the traditions of men, judging according to what you think. But your standard of judgment is not true. It's not in the light. You're judging as a man in the darkness. You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the light of knowledge. So therefore your judgment is not correct. We also need the light of guidance, so that we may go. And so therefore he says to them, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury. He's standing in the very temple, and he taught in the temple, yet no man laid hands on him. First of all, he shows them that they need the light of knowledge. They didn't have that. Oh, they had a lot of religion, and they had position. They were members of the Sanhedrin, but they had no knowledge. They were ignorant of the real spiritual values. He said, this is what you need. I am the light of the world. Now, we need the light of knowledge, my friend. We need to know him. Because if we don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, my friend, we're still in nature's darkness. And we need the light of guidance. That is, we need to walk in the light, even as he is the light. And we need the light of guidance so that we may go. That is, if we're going to walk in this life, and we have to know how to live this life, and we know how to conduct ourselves in this life, we need to be guided. Now, how are we going to be guided if we try to walk around in darkness? You know, I once heard of an argument with a dear Christian and an atheist. And the atheist was trying to argue that there was no God, and that there's no heaven, and no hell, no hereafter. And then he started to propound his beliefs. The Christian looked at him and said, You remind me very much of a blind man who has been shut in a dark room and is trying to catch a black cat that isn't there. Isn't it awful? And that seems to be the position of the ungodly man today, the man who won't have God, who will not allow Jesus Christ to take control. He's got no knowledge. He's got no light of knowledge to know the way of salvation. He's got no light of guidance so that we know where to go. Then we need the light for fruitfulness so that we may grow. Not only do we need light in order to know, and we need light in order to go. For instance, you could never drive your car at night if you didn't have headlights on. It's all right driving during the day when the sun's shining, but the moment the shades of night fall, you put on your headlights. You need light for guidance so that you may go. But we also need light for fruitfulness. You could plow your land, you could sow your seed, but if we didn't have the light of the sun and the warmth of the sun, nothing would grow. We need the light for fruitfulness that we may grow. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, my friend, if we're going to accept him as the light, I suggest that right here is the light of his glory, the glory of his union with his Father. And his Father has borne witness of him. We saw the light of his grace in the opening 11 verses. Here is the light of his glory. He states his claim, I am the light of the world. I pointed out that back in Genesis, God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And when that light shines into the darkened soul, a man or a woman immediately sees the truth, and they accept Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, as I ask you now, are you walking in the light? Is it possible I'm speaking to someone who's been groping around in nature's darkness, and the reason you're still in darkness is because you have refused to accept Jesus Christ, in whom is salvation? You've refused to take Christ as your Savior. Or it may be you are a Christian listening to me, but you're not walking in the light. You may know that you're saved, my friend, but you can't get guidance. You don't know where to go because you're not following the light. And you're not growing. You're not producing anything for God because you're neglecting the light. May it be that today you'll give him his rightful place and you'll walk in the light of his glory.